Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to The Scorecard.
Many doubted we'd ever see it.
Where we focus on Chicagoland and national golf news.
And here it is. The return to glory.
Can't help but think of the long one he made in San Diego to pick up his first PGA Tour win in style. Here it comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes!
And there's no doubt about it. The bear has come out of hibernation.
With your hosts, Score golf expert and editor of Chicago District Golfer magazine, Barry Cronin.
Well, here it comes.
Oh my goodness.
And Mike Esposito.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And good morning and happy Saturday to you. We are here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I'm Mike Esposito alongside Barry Cronin, Score golf expert and editor of the CDGA, Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Always great to talk to the dulcet-toned Mike Esposito.
And always great to talk to you, my friend. Lots cooking this week, and we have the Canadian Open, not in Canada, so it's not going to be called the Canadian Open, but they're playing the Palmetto Championship.
Yes, yes it is. But more importantly, Mike, you actually played golf at Arlington Lakes, you told me. This was exciting.
Yes.
Palmetto Championship, whatever. Mike Esposito at Arlington Lakes. It's 2 weeks in a row. It's unbelievable.
That's right.
It's great. It's almost like this show is having an impact on you. Just a little bit, but that's good.
It is, and I actually have a funny story for you related to that in a little bit. So, yes, we played, and I have played 2 weeks in a row, which is not normal for me, and I love it. It has not always been something that I have time for with the little kids and the full-time job and all that stuff, right?
I know that. It's hard to fit it in.
But it was an outing yesterday for the Arlington Heights Youth Association, which I help coach baseball in the Little League here. And, you know, we do all the various different sports in the AHYAA.
Yeah.
So they had the scramble yesterday, and it was at Arlington Lakes. I played with some of the friends and neighbors here on the block. And outside of sweating profusely, we had a wonderful time.
Sweating profusely is fantastic, Mike, and
yes.
You know it always helps when you rehydrate.
Yes, we did do that.
Sometimes on the golf course, although they do say that the water is better for hydration than the than the other alternatives, you know.
Yes. Well, and they would be correct. So we kept the other alternatives to, I don't want to say a bare minimum, but a minimum. And the Gatorade and water was definitely flowing. And actually, I don't know if it rained at all by where you live, Barry, but we got rained on for about 15 minutes. A random, super quick passing shower. And that felt kind of good, actually. But then it was more humid after that. But anyway, yeah, it was good times. We had fun. We played a best ball scramble, so I think everyone felt pretty good about themselves afterwards, right? I mean, you know, as a group, We shot. Yeah. We shot well. We played. We had some fun, and it was great.
Well, the good thing about a scramble is it mitigates the self-loathing a little bit because
yes,
you don't.
That's right.
You're not accountable for all of your. Just in case you make a mistake on the golf course, there's somebody there to bail you out, which is always a good thing.
That's correct. That is absolutely. And there was not a lot of self-loathing, not like the previous week when I had played at Medina and made it easily into the triple digits. I'm like, yeah, that's not that good. But, you know.
Medina can be the temple of self-loathing. The Medina temple of self-loathing.
There you go. It was a great time, but, yeah, exactly. You don't want to look at that score sheet afterwards. But yesterday, we were happy to look at our 5 or 6 under, whatever it was. Put it this way. I don't even know exactly if it was 5 or 6 under. It was something like that.
If you were only 5 or 6 under, you lost, so it doesn't matter. So it's all good.
We definitely didn't win anything, and we weren't out there necessarily trying, but we had a good time, and it was a fine bunch of guys from the neighborhood, from the block here. We drove together. We walked to each other's house. We had a good time. So it was a good day. And what's not to love about a Friday afternoon on the golf course?
Absolutely. Good for you. I'm glad you're getting out there. Good for you.
But and I say this too, and I appreciate that. This show is definitely rubbing off on me, and we were commenting on that with the neighbors yesterday. But and it's ironic too that at 7 we'll be able to talk to somebody who may have some ideas for me, because as I'm out there, I'm like, boy, I need some new golf shoes. Boy, I could really use a nice hat of some kind. Boy, my clubs are old. Yeah, and thankfully, Barry, we will be talking to Tony Dirks at 7. He is the GM of the PGA Tour PGA Superstore in Downers Grove. I bet you Tony will have some ideas for me to tell my wife, hint, hint, for Father's Day next week.
Exactly right. We're all about helping our listeners, Mike. We're here to help. We're a service organization here at the scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. And we are going to have a lot of different suggestions for people for Father's Day. So what we hope is that the dads that are listening will bring the radio into whatever room their children or wives are hanging out, and let it play for at least in the 7 o'clock hour. So so it'll be great.
Yeah, we have an excellent show for you today. So in addition to Tony, so we're going to talk at 6:20. So in a few minutes here, to John Carlson. John is the head golf coach at Northern Illinois. So we look forward to that. They practice at Rich Harvest Farms, the Arnold Palmer Cup. Is being contested there. We will talk to John. He's serving as an ambassador this week. So what that is, Barry, and I'm cheating directly from what you told me, but it's the top 24 male and female college players from the U.S. Versus Europe team match play competition.
Yes.
So we'll hear from John as to what's going on there. I'm sure he could tell us a little about what's heading out at NIU as well, but that will be interesting, and that'll be coming up shortly. Jim Suddy, Illinois Golf Hall of Famer, Chicago area teacher for many, many years, 50 years. And it's a roster of golf stars that he has taught over the years. On our Swing Thoughts segment, we'll talk to him at 6:40. Tony Dirks, I mentioned, the GM of the PGA Superstore in Downers Grove, with your Father's Day gift ideas. Hint, hint, guys, this is where you get stuff. So we will definitely, as Barry said, want people paying attention to this. And that'll be at 7. And then at 7:40, our old buddy, and now the host of Golf 360, formerly of your Chicago Bears, Patrick Manoli will join us. And I'm looking forward to that. I've done football shows, Bears things with Pat. It'd be nice to talk golf to him now, or golf with him now, not to him, golf with him. And now here on the scorecard. So Pat will join us at 7:40.
Yeah, and he's got he's part of the Bears team on the score.
That's right. He is part of the Bears team. He is dove in head first into the golf thing as well since retirement. You know, Golf 360 is a TV show that he does presented by Chicago District Golf Association, but airs, I believe, on NBC Sports Chicago. And he is I know he plays a ton, and he's always been a fan of the game of golf. And now here he is combining his, I guess, media slash sports stuff in addition to what he does on football, doing a little on golf as well.
Yes, Patrick's a really, really great golfer. I mean, he's a single-digit handicap.
Wow.
We can ask him what he is, but if you ever see him swing a club, I mean, it's incredible. He's an incredible athlete, and he does such a good job on Golf 360. You know, we in Chicago, we have such good broadcasters here. You know, we're really one of the top markets in the country. Mm-hmm. So we sort of assume that everybody who's on, you know, Channel 7 or Channel 5 or whatever, Channel 9, they're all really, really good at their jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're exposed to broadcasting in a smaller market, you realize how difficult it is because people are so bad, right? So bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, compared to Chicago. But I have to say, Patrick Manley, for somebody who just kind of walked out of the locker room over at the Bears a few years ago, he just does a spectacular job on camera. He really does a good job. It's not easy to do, and he does a real good job, and he's a real devoted golfer and a really a good dude, so which everybody who listens to The Score knows he's a great dude.
He's a great guy. He's totally all in on the golf with Golf 360, and you're right. He does a great job broadcasting, and you can tell, right? I mean, we have plenty of former athletes on our airwaves here on The Score, whatever the sport, and some of them are fantastic broadcasters, and some of them are ex-athletes that we have on to ask about sports. But, I mean, if you didn't know, and obviously you and I are old enough to remember Steve Stone as a pitcher, Steve Stone is one of the best broadcasters in baseball, period. Forget
Absolutely.
About athlete or ex-athlete. Steve Stone played for a long time, and now he's been a broadcaster for a long time. But Pat Manley, in that grand tradition, and I'm not saying he's Steve Stone, but Pat doing the same thing for the game of golf. So we'll be excited to talk to Pat at 7:40. We will definitely talk about what's going on down in South Carolina. So explain it to our friends, Barry, because I made a joke off the top about this not being the Canadian Open, but it being the Canadian Open, what I meant by that.
Right. So most sports fans are aware of the fact that, for example, in the end, there's a real problem since the COVID. We closed our borders. Canada closed its border. So we don't go back and forth. And the sports teams don't go back and forth. That's why the NHL has been playing, the Canadian teams have been playing exclusively one another. And, of course, the Toronto Blue Jays, and I think the Canadian government now, because of the playoffs, has now allowed, they're going to allow for the Canadian teams to play the American teams or whatever. I'm not an expert on that, but I think that's the case. And, of course, the Toronto Blue Jays, who are such a great baseball team, as we realized, we Sox fans realized the last couple of days when they played the White Sox, they have not been able to go back and forth. So this is the same thing with the Canadian Open, the RBC Canadian Open. So this tournament was canceled last year because of this incredible pandemic horribleness. And it's canceled this year as a result. So the PGA Tour decided, well, you know, God forbid we have an open week on the schedule.
No.
So they went to the, you know, someplace in Greer, South Carolina. Looks like a beautiful golf course, a different style course that they play. Anyway, they brought everybody there the week before the U.S. Open. It's a very, very, very thin field. You know, you recognize some of the guys who got in are, you know, very low, super low on the world ranking list, et cetera. But there's a couple of guys like Dustin Johnson, who's in second place. And there's a few other characters floating around there. Kepka played. Brooks Kepka played.
Yep.
Missed the cut. Missed the cut. Shot three over and missed the cut. But whatever. It's almost like, okay, we don't. I feel like, you know, we don't even have to talk to that. And we don't really have to talk about it. And so in spite of the fact that they're playing in South Carolina this week, we're honoring Canadian musicians today.
That's right.
In honor of the Canadian Open, which we hope to God will be back next year. By the way, there's a Canadian tour. It's a it's kind of like below the Corn Ferry Tour. It used to be called the Mackenzie Tour. And now it's being called the Form Tour because they got some company to sponsor the tour. Anyway, it's the basically the Canadian tour for, you know, developmental tour. And it's now being played this year in the United States because of the many of the young guys that play up there are Americans. Anyway, so we're just going to kind of talk about next week's U.S. Open, which is coming to Torrey Pines, and that'll be pretty exciting.
Well, and how about this, too? And we have not had a chance to talk about this because it happened after we were on last week. But at the Memorial last week, you had a leader have to withdraw after the third round after a positive test. And that guy is John Rahm. And I know if you're paying attention, you certainly saw that. But that's not something you see every day.
No. And, boy, that was unfortunate. You know, he came off the green after putting out after Saturday's round. He had a 6-shot lead. And what's inexplicable to me is that the doctor for the PGA Tour, you know, he walks off the green. He's 5 steps off the green, and the doctor walks up to him and tells him he tested positive and he has to withdraw from the tournament. And he broke down right there near the green. So, you know, it's like, well, shouldn't you have waited until he got inside to the scoring area to tell him this bad news? It's really, I just thought that, you know, I thought that that was very, very, I thought disrespectful. And it really surprised me that the PGA Tour did that. I think I'm sure that they regret doing that now, that they see that as a mistake. And I don't know why they would have done that. It just really was a bad look. Now, with him having to withdraw, he had been, apparently he had been in close contact with somebody who had the COVID, and he had been tested repeatedly during the week and was on alert that he might have to withdraw, but he kept testing negative. He had multiple negative tests earlier in the week, and then all of a sudden he tests positive, and they apparently ran the test a couple of other times, you know, just to make sure that he was in fact positive. And of course, a lot of people argue, wait a minute, he had no symptoms. Why not send him off first early in the morning with no partners? Just let him, and if you want to, let him carry his own bag. But that wasn't going to happen because of the PGA Tour protocol. So that was very unfortunate. And then in the end, Patrick Cantlay won the tournament. But after he withdrew, the tournament, I mean, it's a big Jack Nicklaus's tournament at his course. Yep. Really had kind of a pall on it. So it wasn't really that great, unfortunately.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you, Barry. Handled poorly. Could have done it behind the curtain, so to speak. Not that somebody had to, not something that everyone had to see. But with a 6-shot lead, I mean, that's certainly Rahm's to lose at that point. For him to blow 6 shots in one round, I don't want to say unlikely. It was definitely unlikely that would
happen. You're exactly, Mike. You don't really know. And I just want to point out, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
sure.
Rahm had his one vaccination, and he was waiting to get the other one, so he wasn't immune yet. And what's inexplicable is that he's from Spain, which had been more adversely affected by the COVID than almost any other country in the world. So anyway, I know we have to take a break, so we got
We do have to take a break, and when we get back, we will talk to John Carlson over at Rich Harvest Farms. He's the head golf coach at NIU, an ambassador this week in the Arnold Palmer Cup. I can't speak this morning.
Easy for you to say, Mike.
That's right. This segment brought to you by Illinois PGA Professionals, experts in the business and game of golf. We'll talk to John Carlson when we come back here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And we are back here on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Had to wait for the little drum kick there, Barry, before we start talking over the band. One of Canada's finest rock bands ever.
Well, you know, Robbie Robertson, he was a Canadian, and of course Levon Helm was a Southerner, but it was a wonderful match at the time, the late Leon Helm, so there you go.
Yep, and Robbie Robertson, the main songwriter for the band, although they all certainly did that, but we are happy to feature them in our Canadian music edition here of the Scorecard. We're also happy to jump on out now to the Score Hotline and chat with the head golf coach at Northern Illinois University and also an ambassador this week at the Arnold Palmer Cup. John Carlson joins us on the Scorecard. Good morning, John.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, how are you, John? Good to thank you so much for being on. So the Arnold Palmer Cup started at Rich Harvest Farms. First of all, for folks that aren't familiar with the Arnold Palmer Cup and its relatively new format, could you just give the folks a little breakdown?
Well, it's certainly been an exciting week here at Rich Harvest. We have 48 of the top players in the world here. The Arnold Palmer Cup was derived from the Palmer family, and through the GCAA, the Golf Coaches Association, they welcome the top college players from both the USA side and the international team. And this year, Palmer Cup, they featured both the men's and women's playing together, which has really increased the level of play and certainly brought more people out to watch.
Right. It started out, didn't it? It's a match play tournament. So for people who are familiar with, maybe or may not be familiar with match play, it's kind of like the Ryder Cup or the Walker Cup. But it started out to be just all men, young guys from college. And then they mixed in the women because I think, you know, it got to be too much like a Walker Cup type of a deal, right?
Yeah, I think that, you know, college golf is definitely on the rise on both the men's and women's sides. And, you know, seeing the level of competition that was, out there yesterday, the women from both the USA team and the international team were very impressive. And it came down to the final putt on the final hole yesterday. Pearson Coutee, number one player in the world, made about a 15-footer for eagle, and that ended up having the matches that day, so 6-6 coming into today, and we have 36 holes of golf today. It's going to be exciting.
Now John, for the college golfers, and you, as we said coming in, you're the head coach at NIU, so you're certainly plugged into the college golf scene. Is this a factor? Is this a motivational type thing to your players and to others across the country to try to get named to this team, to try to get drafted to this team?
Yeah, both the Walker Cup and the Palmer Cup. Those would be the two biggest international teams that you could join as a college player or as an amateur golfer. And so they're playing on rare air here at Rich Harvest Farms this week. And, I know that they're all, particularly my team that came out and watched yesterday, if we could get a Northern Illinois University golfer to play in the Arnold Palmer Cup one day, that would be a huge feather in our cap.
Well, your golf teams have been improving a lot over the years, and you really got a solid program, John, so congratulations on that. What do you notice? Obviously, it seems to me like the men, of course, he just hit it so much farther than the women. But other than that, what do you make of the two different types of games, and how do the two genders sort of adapt to one another's games? The men's is more of a power game, of course, we know, but how do the women fare with the men, and how does it all work out?
Well, I think everyone that was out there yesterday, I was very impressed with how good everyone's short games were, both on the men's and women's sides. So I think, you know, you put both the men and women at 15 feet, and, you know, yesterday there's really no difference. They both putt the ball extremely well. I think, you know, coming into the par fives, maybe a little bit advantageous to be able to hit a five iron from the center of the fairway from 225 yards straight up in the air and land it softly on the
that would be nice.
At Rich Harvest Farms. That's certainly an advantage that maybe the men have over the women, but the women drive the ball very straight. They do play tees that are a little further up, but, you know, I think both sides contributed to the scoring yesterday, which made for just an incredible scene last night where you have, a player from the international side. She makes a 15-footer to keep the match going to the 18th hole. International side goes crazy. And then on the final hole, we see her make another 25-foot putt just to make birdie, make Pearson Cootie, number one player in the world from Texas, make his 15-footer for eagle. So you can just – I was kind of wanted to paint that scene, but it really unfolded in a very impressive way to start the Arnold Palmer Cup off this week.
Right, and that's a kind of action that we'd love to see televised. It would have been sounds like maybe a little bit more exciting than the than this week's PGA Tour event. And what's cool about it is it's different. And I noticed that the European Tour this week is in Sweden, and Henrik Stenson and Annika Sörenstam are hosting a men-women type of tournament there. So I think it would be cool if the PGA Tour had something like this. They used to have the old JCPenney down in Florida years ago. But it'd be nice to mix it up. I guess maybe the PGA Tour has to buy the LPGA Tour before that can happen, you know, really, and which will probably be happening at some point in our lives. Who knows? But anyway, John, thank you so much for joining us. It's really been great having you, and have a lot of fun out at Rich Harvest Farms. And I know we will somehow get coverage of this event, although probably not in our local papers.
Well, thanks for having me on this morning and just talking about how special it is for, you know, Mr. Rich to bring the event along with the GCA out to Rich Harvest Farms. We are loving having the best players in the world at our home course.
Right, and give our best to Jerry Rich, who's a huge a supporter and donor of golf in Chicago and always is so generous with allowing his golf course to be used by different organizations to have their events, whether it's the NCAA, the Big Ten, the Western Golf Association, or this Palmer Cup, because it's the second time that Mr. Rich has hosted the Palmer Cup out there. So kudos to him.
And, yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you, John. John Carlson, head golf coach over at Northern Illinois, reporting, I guess, as our guest here from the Arnold Palmer Cup. Out there at Rich Harvest and Sugar Grove. Sounds like a cool event, Barry, and I'm with you. I'm like, oh, man, I would like to see this. You know, he's talking about the birdie on 17 for the international team or the eagle on 18 for the American team. That sounds like something people would watch.
Well, right, and younger people, I think, would be interested in this because it's all, you know, it's all college students and college players. I don't know how much students. I guess they're more students than some of our other sports. Sometimes, yeah. You know, maybe not. But
they are student athletes, Barry.
They are student athletes. I forgot that. So yeah, it'd be cool to see, and I think it's always neat to see for we average players to understand that we play the game more like the women than the men, right? Because we can't hit it 300 yards off the tee. For the most part, some dudes can't. I mean, some guys can. But a lot of us, we're not hitting that 220-yard 5-iron from the middle of the fairway and parachuting it onto the green, as John was talking about. So it's just interesting it'd be an interesting contrast for people to see how the power game versus the finesse game can be played. So it would be nice to see. But hey, in our dreams, Mike, and it was good to talk to John. And the other thing I wanted to mention is, unfortunately, because of the COVID, there are no fans allowed out at Rich Harvest. They put all these golf tournaments are planned months in advance, so no one really knew there were going to be 40,000 at Wrigley yesterday before they did the COVID rules out there. And so there are no fans allowed, unfortunately, but maybe sometime down the line there will be.
You would think pretty soon, based on what's going on in the world, and actually I shouldn't even say the world, because in a lot of places in the world, and as you mentioned when we were talking about the Canadian Open being canceled, I know Canada has had several lockdowns, and while we, in general, the United States has had great success vaccinating the population and getting things reopened, that has not always been the case around the world. Canada is one of those, as you mentioned, with some of the things we're seeing with the NHL playoffs and the Blue Jays and the Canadian Open, that is not always the case with other countries around the world. So definitely great to see a packed house at Wrigley yesterday. Great to see a Cubs victory, of course, but getting people back out and being able to do things again feels great. And certainly golf is among those things and was among those things that people were thrilled to be able to do even last year at a socially distant, in a socially distant way, and really get out of your house, get out of the lockdown, and get outside and do something. So,
well, right. And Canada even shut down golf, which is, you know, pretty amazing, because if you're outside, you can't really get it. I hate to tell everybody who's riding their bike in a mask down Lincoln Avenue, but whatever.
I have a friend who lives out near Toronto, and he was telling me about all of the different lockdowns and protocols, and you know how they have to go to stores, and everything is curbside, and you can't go in places now, and it's really bad. If you're sick of COVID, as I think most of the world is by this point, be glad you live in the United States where things are opening up and not in places like Canada. Not that there's anything wrong with Canada, but the reopening, but their
experts are not so expert.
The reopening stuff is not going as well elsewhere as it is here in the U.S. Anyway, I digress on my COVID talk, but
oh my God, we can't talk that. It's a lot of COVID talk now. It's too much.
We want to talk about golf, not about infectious disease. So we will do that next when we get Jim Suddy, Illinois Golf Hall of Famer, top teacher in the Chicago area for many, many years. We'll talk to Jim on our Swing Thoughts segment when we return here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score.
Just let it happen. Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like
that. Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking.
And now, The Scorecard presents Swing Thoughts. Some free advice from the best teachers in the game.
And we are back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito with you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8. And not only is the CDGA a fine sponsor of this show, but they're also trying to give you free stuff. Log on to cdga.org/contest. You can register to win a CDGA season starter pack. You get an Imperial hat, towel, and zero friction super tube with Spectrum mat balls, tees, and a universal fit glove. Everything you need to start the season. cdga.org/contest if you'd like to try to enter that. Why wouldn't you?
Hey, Mike, I have to mention something.
Yes, Barry.
The great Danny Noonan in that movie, Michael O'Keefe. Mm-hmm. Three guesses who he was married to. Speaking of music.
I do not know the answer to that.
Bonnie Raitt, of all things.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was shocked when I learned that. I don't know why I learned that, but Who knows why you learn things when you're trolling around, you're scrolling around the stupid internet. But that was one valuable thing that had happened to me on the internet this week. I can't remember many more, but that was a good one.
Congratulations. and maybe we can mix Bonnie Raitt into, is she from Texas? I want to say
born in Burbank, California, of all places, of a couple of John Raitt, who was a Broadway actor.
All right,
and
well, there you have
probably
it.
Some kind of movie star. So yeah, so there you go. But we digress from our swing thoughts. Go ahead.
We do. We are here in our swing thoughts segment, and we jump on out to the Score hotline. Now we are thrilled to welcome in Dr. Jim Suddy to the show, Illinois Golf Hall of Famer, Illinois native, and one of the area's top teachers. Jim, I'll let you tell it. How many years you want to claim here before we make you older than you are?
Well, you know, nice to be with you guys, but I'd like to drop the subject of age. today is my birthday, so I am 1 year younger.
Happy birthday.
All right. Good for you, Jim. You know, when you start counting backwards, that's when you know something's going on.
I plead the fifth.
But happy birthday, Jim. It's great to have you on. Thank you so much. And so happy birthday, and really a really heartfelt congratulations from I know all the Illinois PGA pros and everybody around Chicago in the golf community. Really congratulate you on being named a member of the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame. It's a great honor, and I think it honors that Hall of Fame that you're actually in it, because I think that the teachers like you, people like you, impact the game on a daily basis when you're out there teaching people, whether it's Paul Azinger or Kevin Streelman or any of the other golf stars that you've worked with over the years, as well as just the average person who's coming in and taking up the game. So thank you for that, and congratulations.
Well, thank you. I've always had a close relationship with the Illinois section, and I've always tried to do my best to help promote them. And I've had fun through the years, and enjoy very much the teaching part of it, and just the regular person in front of me who's a beginner, or if it's a Kevin Streelman who's on the tour, you know, it's just have to approach it a little differently.
Exactly. So, Jim, you've been doing this for a long time. You went to NIU. You studied there, biomechanics, everything, and you brought a lot of, I think, technical things into the game, maybe earlier than a lot of other teachers around the country. But what have you learned, you know, in the all these decades that you've been teaching? What have you learned about teaching?
Oh, great question. As technical as I was in college when I did my doctorate on a model's performance, taking a number of players on the tour and averaging out their swing in 10 positions from two different angles with a big mathematical formula, I've learned this. You better be simple when you're talking to somebody, and don't give them more than two things, because they're not going to be able to accept it. And so I've learned to be very simple in my teaching. Then they take what they have, work on it, come back for another time. But simplicity and communication is so important. You can know everything in the world, but if you cannot communicate it to the person in front of you, you're just lost. So I think that's what I've learned.
And, you know, Jim, we see these PGA pros, you had Jordan Spieth go into this slump. And it's not only him. He's a high-profile guy, you know, who was in a slump. And you have other players on the tour. And you always hear them go back and say, well, I went back to my grip and my stance and just real fundamentals. You always hear them say, I went back to the fundamentals. How important are the fundamentals to average golfers, and what are the fundamentals?
Well, there are many fundamentals, and you better go back to how you learned when you were younger or when you first came out. But fundamentals like stance, posture, swing plane, rotation of the body, weight transfer. These are fundamentals, but you have to pick the most important ones. You pick the ones in front of you that are the causes and not the results. Too many of us, and even myself in the past, I've taught to results and not the causes. If you teach the causes and you go back to, like Jordan Spieth should go back to how he learned from his father instead of trying to do something unbelievably different, you know. So going back to the simple stuff, going back to what works for you, going back to the ball flight that works for you and the targets, those are the things that you should be looked at.
Jim, curious, as you talk about your love of teaching and really the communication aspect of it, which is completely correct, and it's why somebody like me has such a hard time. I coach Little League Baseball, but you're trying to get what's in your head out, especially when you're talking to kids. It's not always the easiest thing. How has that? How has your ability to do that kind of evolved over the years? I can't imagine that's something that was there right from the beginning.
Oh, no, communication. I thought everybody knew everything I was saying, you know, until I sat down with somebody and I said, well, what did you learn out of that lesson? And they couldn't tell me because they gave me about seven things. And the brain will not accept it. And so you have to be very, very simple. And there are two types of swing thoughts, basically. And you guys are doing swing thoughts. They're what we call right brain swing thoughts or creative or intuitive swing thoughts. And there are analytical swing thoughts. The person in front of you could be an analytical type of person, and he can accept analytical thoughts. But if you try to give an analytical thought to a creative and intuitive guy, it does not work. So you have to evaluate the person mentally and physically before you really start teaching him.
All right, so Jim, we've got a lot of people out there. Some are listening in pro shops. They're in the car, whatever, on their way to play golf. How about a swing thought? Do you got any good ones?
Well, you know, the best swing thought I could give anybody would be this. Less tension creates better tempo. And so most of us have too much tension. We grab the club, we get tight, we try to get a straight left arm, all this stuff. Tension creates problems. So the more relaxed you are at address, the better your motion is going to be. So I think tension would be my best swing thought. Get rid of the tension.
I always say, sometimes I'm standing there and I'm going, okay, don't have any tension. But that means I have tension. And so
right. It's
to me, it's like trying to go to sleep. How are you going to, all right, I got to get rid of my tension. And then you're tense about getting rid of your tension, and you hit it sideways or wherever you hit it. And then, you know, five shots later, you go, oh, I think I'm just going to really relax. And then all of a sudden you hit a good one. And it's just, it's such, what a game.
Yeah. How many times have you seen a guy get over the ball and he's there over the ball for 5 to 8 seconds? Now, if you create a good pre-shot routine and you get up there and waggle the club and give it maybe a 1 or 2 second stop, then go. That's it. You do not want to hang out over the ball because that's what creates the tension. So.
Hey, Jim, as we get ready to let you go, and we really appreciate your time, last thing I have for you, how much has your teaching changed over the years? You've obviously been doing this for a long time. How different, if I came and saw you tomorrow, would my lesson with you be than it would have been, say, 30 years ago?
30 years ago, I would have given you too many swing thoughts, and I would have taught to results instead of causes, and I would have been more technical. And now today I'd be very simple, and I would basically give you a good evaluation of your body and put you into a swing that your body can do, and not try to put you into a swing that your body cannot do because of the tightness and stiffness in your body. So I think I've looked at the body more thoroughly recently, and instead of trying to say, well, you should do this. Well, you can't do this because your body won't let you. So that's really how it's changed, I think.
Well, that's great, Jim. Less tension creates better tempo. That's the swing thought for the day, everybody. And Jim, we are so honored to have you on this show, and congratulations on the Hall of Fame. And hopefully we'll see you in October, and congratulations on your birthday, which has you getting younger by the years, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'd like to forget my birthday today. Thank you, guys. You guys are great. I listen to you, and I'm sure happy that you're successful in your show. So,
Thank you very much, Jim. That's very great of you. We appreciate it. Dr. Jim Suddy, Illinois Golf Hall of Fame, one of the top teachers in the Chicago area for a long time. I was reading, and I didn't realize that Jim still holds, and I wanted to, I forgot to mention this to him, he still holds the course record of 63 at Kissewaukee Country Club in DeKalb. So
yeah, that's pretty cool, and that's a real good golf course. I haven't played it, but I was talking to somebody recently who's a member there, and it's a really good golf course. So yeah, Jim's all these guys who become teachers were great players. You remember our buddy Scott Fawcett with the Decade analytics for golf. I went to his little seminar yesterday up at the golf practice in Highland Park, where he had about 25 people there. And, you know, he used to be a mini tour player. He's a really, really good player in golf. Yep. And has transitioned into the teaching world. So that happens a lot, and these guys have a lot to offer.
Yeah, no, and Jim's a fat, you know, reading Jim's bio here, so I called him Dr. Jim Suddy. Well, he has a doctorate from Middle Tennessee, and Barry, because he was talking about the technical aspects of golf and how he's, you know, gotten, not away from it, but, you know, he'd be more on the, a bit of a different track teaching these days. His doctoral thesis was entitled A Biomechanical Comparison Between Conventional Golf Swing Learning Technique and a Unique Kinesthetic Feedback Technique. So that's a mouthful.
I think that was a trend in the day, and I think we understand that learning knowledge is knowledge progresses, we have to go through certain stages, right? Sure. You couldn't go on maybe teaching the way that they were teaching at the time. And so this was a natural, that's what this is the next step in our learning process. And now 50 years later, you know, I shouldn't say that, but Jim has come to the point where he's like, okay, it's more about feel, and it's more about teaching to the person's body. And so, but sometimes you have to go through a certain stage in order to get back to find the truth, right? And and that's what he did. He's on his journey to find the truth through that doctoral thesis, and now he's almost kind of back to square one. But if you look at Hogan's Five Lessons, that book. That book was a technical tour de force too,
sure.
and it's still relevant today. Things have changed, and it's interesting. There are golf teachers, golf instructors who they will not hardly teach you on the driving range. They won't go to technique. They'll bring you out on the golf course. And then we have teachers like Scott, because we've Scott Fawcett, who we've got all this data. Mm-hmm. He's teaching you probabilities, so there is now this mix of, hey, let's just play free, and you've got this other thing where you've got PGA Tour Shot Link and all this analytics that goes on that Shot Link information from the tour filters down to the average player, whether it's a young player or just a middle level handicapped person who's just hacking it around on the weekends or whenever he can. So, or she. So anyway, it's a long way of saying that I guess that golf instruction is taking different forms now. And I think the average player can benefit from all that.
Sure. Yeah. Less tension. Get out there and have fun. Don't get in your head too much. And I related to that very much, what he just said. So we are happy to have Dr. Jim Suddy on. the program this morning. We need to take a break. During the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk to former Chicago Bear Patrick Manley, host of Golf 360. But coming up next, from the PGA Superstore in Downers Grove, Tony Dirks will join us. We'll talk Father's Day. We'll talk gifts. We'll talk about you getting stuff, which is always welcomed. It's Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.